Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live on the air to address your question or discuss your real-life issue at 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. If there's something you'd like to talk about, this is your invitation to call right now, 1-800-677-9377. Basic Gospel. It intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Today is April 1st. It's April Fool's Day as we know it. And today we have a very interesting program. We're going to talk about the April Fool's Gospel. And I know I've been in various churches and I've heard pastors teach various messages. And I'm hoping at the end they're going to come up and say, April Fool's. But they don't. And it just buries you with all the things that they tell you you have to do and need to do and are supposed to do, and your tongue just comes out of your mouth just tired listening, thinking about all the stuff that you do. But there is a real gospel, and it's good news. It's good news that brings joy to the heart, and we want to talk about it today. Andrew Farley is with us. Richard is here. Bob Davis. And we're going to have a fantastic interaction and discussion. We want you to be a part of it. Yeah. Call in and let's talk about some of the things that you've experienced in your Christian life that you believed were true but ended up not being so true at all. So call us now, 1-800-677-9377. Call early so we can get to as many calls as we possibly can on today's broadcast. Andrew, you posted something very interesting on your Facebook page today about this April Fool's Gospel. What exactly were you thinking about in terms of that?
Yeah, well, it's interesting, Bob. I mean, I called it the April Fool's Gospel because it's just a bunch of a double talk. It really sets God up as a double crosser. I mean, he says, I'll remember your sins no more, but then we turn around and teach that he's going to remember all our sins at the final judgment. We're told that our old self died, but then we also hear that we got to try to kill off the old self, or that the old self is crawling off the altar to haunt us once again. Or we're told that we're free from the law, and then we turn right around and say, but we still need the moral law to stay moral. Well, what in the world is Jesus and his morality for? Why does he live in us? We're guided by the Spirit. And then lastly, I mean, you just hear, oh, yeah, we're united with Christ. We're one with Christ. And then they say, but hey, you're out of fellowship half the time because of all your struggles. So, you know, it's like we're talking out of two sides of our mouth. It really does seem like an April Fool's joke to me. The gospel, the real thing, is way better.
Yes, it is. It is way better indeed. In Christ, we do have total forgiveness of sins. In Christ, we've been declared righteous. And that gives us right standing with God. We're acceptable to God. We're loved by God. We have been justified. We have been redeemed. We have been reconciled. We have been given a new name, a new identity. We are new creatures in Christ. We live in a new covenant where all the promises are on God's shoulders to deliver to us, and he does. And that's the good news of the gospel. And as we all know, there is so much confusion swirling around that gospel message. And I was thinking back on my early days as a Christian, back in my high school days, college days, I really wanted to be God's guy. And I think that's a God-given desire. You want to be God's guy. You want your life to count for him. Nothing wrong with that. The problem for me was trying to figure out how to make that happen. And so I leaned on my own understanding, and what started out as a joyful experience became nothing but sheer drudgery. I had turned the good news gospel into, as you call it today, Andrew, an April Fool's gospel. Every time it was like a prank had been pulled on me. Another rug had been pulled out from underneath me. And I could never figure out how to live this Christian life. And I know my story isn't unique. That was your story, Andrew. I know that's your story, Richard. And Bob Davis, that was yours as well. I think that's just a part of our DNA, isn't it? We're going to live out some set of rules and regulations in order to gain God's acceptance. And at some point along the road, we're going to figure out that's not going to get us there.
Yeah, I would have felt so much better if someone would have come to me and said, psych, April Fools. But nobody ever did. You know, and so I kept at it. All those crazy things that I used to believe and practice and thinking I was getting better. And finally, you know, God was screaming at me saying, April Fools, you know, you want to listen to some truth? And it got through to me.
Yeah, you got these mixed messages. Maybe you out there listening right now, you've been the victim of some mixed messages and some cloudy thinking, and the gospel itself has been watered down in the way it's been delivered to you. We'd love to hear from you. You know, Bob, we each have a story, and I'll tell you everything from the money matters. You know, we've been talking about money for a while now on the program, and you hear that, well, you're free to give from the heart. You're free to give from the heart, but it better be 10%. And even that becomes a mixed message. And, you know, Christianity, if we don't watch it, it's full of these cloudy mixed messages.
Well, let's do talk about it. 1-800-677-9377. That's the toll-free number in the U.S. and Canada. And the lines are wide open right now. Plenty of time on that clock, and we want you to be a part of this conversation. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, just a program note before we start entertaining some calls. Tomorrow we have a special guest, Lee Strobel. He is the author of The Case for Christ and The Case for Faith. He is an investigative journalist that went on a quest to find out truth about the resurrection of Christ, the story of Christ, and in so doing, he became a Christian. He's got a fascinating story to tell, and he's going to be our special guest tomorrow. In honor of that, we have a wonderful gift that we would like to put in your hands, absolutely free of charge. It is a booklet that he did called The Case for Easter, and it's an excerpt of his investigation into the claims of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. It is a wonderful, wonderful little read, and we would love to put it in your hands. And it's available just simply by calling 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828. We will get it to you as quickly as we possibly can.
Yeah. Again, 1-800-677-9377. Calls coming in. We want to hear from you. Plenty of lines remaining, and just room for you. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thank you, Bob. Let's go to April listening to us in Santa Rosa, California. Hi, April.
On April 1st.
Yeah, I know. I get a lot of that. See, here's the thing for me is I spent many years knowing and feeling God in my heart, but not being a Christian. And it's just been recently that I have fully embraced the understanding of just how much I am loved. And by that love, I am able to love so freely. But having been in the secular world for so long and having the cynical viewpoint that I did, that very thing that you're talking about, the talking out of two sides of your mouth, let me tell you, every person who is in the secular world is acutely aware of that's what happens in the Christian realm. And that's why it's really important as much as possible that people, you know, Christians and secular people get to hear the good news, you know. But it takes a kind of maturity to be able to take it all in. It really does.
Yeah, you know, April, Galatians 3 talks about being a fool, and it says, you foolish Galatians. And so I guess what we're all celebrating and what you seem to be indicating in your call here is that if we don't watch it, we could be very foolish in selling God short. His love, we don't want to sell his love short. His forgiveness, we don't want to sell that short either. And everything that he's done through the cross and the resurrection, we don't want to sell that short. And so Paul says, he says, you foolish Galatians, who has tricked you? And then he says, what do you think you're going to do this by observing the law or by hearing this great news about God's Spirit? So we've heard some incredible news that it's by God's Spirit that we live, not just that we're saved by the Spirit, that we grow by the Spirit and we live by the Spirit. And, and it's an awesome, awesome piece of news, but we don't want to water it down, do we?
Absolutely. Yeah. And what's interesting in hearing you speak, you said it's incredible. Well, actually, the word incredible means that it's not credible. But it does seem to be so overwhelmingly beyond anything that we know of in this world. We can't compare God's love really to anything. Yet, God's love lives through us in the most beautiful way. It's such an interesting dichotomy that it is very easy to dismiss it, and it's very, very easy for people to think they've got the pat answer and be satisfied with just the nibble and not the whole thing, you know?
Yeah, well, April, thank you. Thank you for sharing that with us. You know, you've talked about the love of God. Paul says we need power to grasp it because it's so big, so wide, so deep. We never get to the bottom of it. That's what you're saying. Appreciate your call. It's great to have you on the program. You
well,
call again soon.
I appreciate you guys. In my walk along the way, you guys have helped me tremendously, and I really appreciate that.
Awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome, April. We sure appreciate your call. Let me put you on hold, and we'll send you a copy of this book, The Case for Easter by Lee Strobel, just for jumping on with us today. So thank you. You hang on. Well, let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk with Mary Jo. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello.
Welcome.
Well, thank you. Have a blessed day. My question is, you said the promises of God. And I know one of the promises is God giving us his spirit, but what are some of the other promises?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a great question, Mary Jo, and, you know, I'll refer to the book of Hebrews, the fact that we have the promises of the new covenant, the fact that God delivered on all of those promises in Christ. As you mentioned, one of those promises is the gift of the Holy Spirit, and through the Holy Spirit, he has written the laws of love, faith, hope, and love on our hearts. That's a promise that's been fulfilled. We certainly have the promise of a relationship with God. We've been invited into the Holy of Holies, the very presence of God. God has come and made his presence known and felt inside of us. We have the assurance that we belong to him. That's a promise that he continues to reaffirm in our hearts and souls. We have the promise of a resurrection body. That's the hope. And that's not something that we wish for or wishful thinking. That's going to come true. We're going to get resurrected bodies. And we're going to be with the Lord forever. When we die, we're going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. That's a promise of God, and he is faithful, and he is just, and he's going to deliver on each and every one of those promises. We can count on that.
Okay.
Does that help?
Well, thank you so much.
Well, you're so welcome, Mary Jo. Thanks for your call.
Well, have a blessed day again.
Well, you too. Thank you. Let's go to Dallas, Texas, and talk with Deborah. Hi, Deborah.
Hi.
Welcome. Deborah, you're on the line.
All right.
You have a question for us?
Yes, I do. And my question is about angels. I had a dream some time ago, and an angel walked up to me in the dream, and she says, that God is just fixing to just bless you. And she had a folder in her hand. And, well, she wouldn't let me take the folder and just look at it, but she did allow me to turn it over. And on the back of it, it was these big words in red, said blessed. And there was like an explosion of, like Independence Day, like the 4th of July, just bursting in the air, you know? And...
Yeah, you know, a lot of folks have a lot of different experiences. You fall asleep and you have a dream, what feels like a vision. Lots of folks, whether they're saved or lost, we have many dreams about many things, and sometimes there's spiritual content in there. But, you know, ultimately, you know, I just want to say to you that if you're in Christ, then yes, you are blessed.
Yes,
you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. And he has blessed every believer, making us complete. We don't lack anything. And even though you have a dream here or there, or someone feels that they have a spiritual experience of some kind, We want to always encourage people to put their trust in Jesus Christ and the truth of the gospel, even if they're having no experiences recently, no special visions or dreams. Paul talks about folks who would put too much confidence. We don't want to put too much confidence in dreams or visions, or even if an angel, what we think is an angel, would come to us and preach some sort of message. We always want to fall back on what Jesus did, put our confidence in him, no matter what dreams or visions or experiences we have. But I'll tell you, most importantly, we got to know, you're right. I mean, we're blessed. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ, and he loves you so. Thanks for your call.
Yeah, we sure appreciate that, Deborah. I always think of the verse in Hebrews 2:14, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? And our salvation is through faith in Jesus and Jesus alone. A lot of times we get so caught up in the fact that we saw an angel or an angel visited us or something like that. The Jews had big issues with angels. They put angels on a very high pedestal, and yet the writer of Hebrews says Jesus is far superior in every single way. The angels actually bow down and worship him and do what he bids them to do in serving us who will inherit salvation. So, Deborah, good question today. Let's move on to El Monte, California, and talk with Joanne. Hi, Joanne.
Hi. Hi. Great to talk to you guys again. I had this question. It's about the crucifixion, the cross. Some say that it was a plain up, tree trunk with no crossbars. But I'd like to know how to answer that. I know with me it doesn't make, never mind, he was crucified. But I'd just like to know how I can answer that one.
Well, there is the idea of a Roman cross, which had two pieces to it. Now, it really depends on, was he hanging on a Roman cross or I think Peter says in one place, he calls it a tree. It's really hard to tell. I think you're smart, you're wise to, first of all, not make it into a big deal, but you got to remember that Paul and some of the other apostles, they do refer to it as a cross. They talk about the message of the cross. And so traditionally, Christians have pictured it as a T-shape, and I don't know. I don't think we have any reason to not think that he was crucified on a Roman cross that had a T-shape to it. So that word comes up a good bit in the gospel message, but ultimately it's his bloodshed that matters.
Yeah. And a part of that, too, Joanne, is the fact that when somebody hangs on a cross, it's usually suffocation that kills them. And the fact that the hands would be pulled apart and nailed to a cross, that's the very thing that would collapse the lungs and make it very difficult to breathe. And so the person on the cross would have to lift themselves up with their legs as much as they could just to get a breath. And, any other way wouldn't necessarily collapse the lungs like that. So that's historical evidence. So I think we just kind of go with that. And as Andrew was saying, Jesus died. And we know he was raised back to life, and that's why it's good news.
Yes, Peter just said it was a tree. Well, a tree is wood. Wouldn't that be made into a cross too?
Well, Paul was actually quoting a verse in Galatians, and he said, "Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree." That's an Old Testament thing, and when that was given, Roman crucifixion wasn't even in existence. Yeah. Nobody had dreamed that. That sinister act up yet. He was foreshadowing what was going to happen to Christ and the fact that Christ became a curse for us so that we could be set free.
Amen. Well, that's beautiful. That's a beautiful thing. I just praise the Lord for it all the time.
Yes, indeed.
I give him thanks every morning, every night, every in between. Thank him for everything.
Well,
everything gives thanks.
Well, that thankfulness is what faith is all about. That's one of the qualities and characteristics of faith. When we respond to God with a heart filled with thankfulness, we know we're trusting Him. So good for you, yes. Joanne.
Yeah.
Hey, we sure appreciate your call today. Well, let's go to Lewis in Brooklyn, New York, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Lewis.
Hi, guys. I haven't spoken to you guys for a while. How you guys are doing?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you
Amen.
Again.
Amen. Yes, my question for today is, how did the church get involved in the legalism of the tithing of the 10% where in the New Testament it's not mentioned? Where we give cheerfully. How did the church get involved in that?
Well, Lewis, that's an interesting question, because when you read in the New Testament, you read how the churches kind of handled finances. You know, you never see tithing mentioned. They just kind of gave freely. They met the needs of the other members of the body. When somebody was struggling, they all kind of rallied around that person and helped them out. When Paul needed help to go on his various missionary journeys, they rallied around him to help him out. There was never, a message of guilt and manipulation, and if you don't do this, God isn't going to bless you. I think that came later. It wasn't part of the New Testament at all. But we've latched on to some Old Testament realities, the way God dealt with the people of Israel, and we've tried to bring them over into this new covenant life. And in mixing those two, we've made a mess of things.
Wow.
So it's very important for us to realize that we are new covenant. Andrew, do you have any insights into that?
Yeah, you know, Jesus said that tithing is a matter of the law. He turned to the Pharisees and he said that you guys are neglecting, you know, justice and mercy and some of the weightier matters of the law. But you're certainly careful to take care of the lesser matters of the law, that is, your tithing, your spices. So Jesus himself tells us what our theology about tithing should be. He called it a matter of the law, and it was designed to fund the Levitical priesthood. It was designed to help the priests have an income and have enough food, and they weren't allowed to have property they called their own. So you go into the Israel laws and you find these things, and then really today we have no business worrying right. about a mandated percentage. We get to give from the heart and support the gospel because we really Amen. Want it out there. And what a privilege that is to be able to support the message of Jesus Christ.
Well, Lewis, let us do this. Let me put you on hold. We have a little booklet called Giving the New Covenant Way. We'd love to put that into your hands. It answers many of the questions that you've asked on today's broadcast, points you to some scriptures in the New Testament that I think will be a big help to you. So let me put you on hold and we'll get that to you. Okay, my friend? Hey, thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it. Well, again, a reminder, tomorrow's guest on the broadcast is Lee Strobel. We have a wonderful little gift for you in honor of that called The Case for Easter. Richard, I think you have some information to share with our listeners about the matching gift fund, don't you?
Yes. As of right now, it looks like we've collected $28,756.
So we went through the $25,000, and I talked to one of the guys who was a part of this matching gift, and he said, well, we're going to match it all the way up to $28,122.
Cool.
So that is good news, and thank you to all who responded.
Absolutely. Well, we are smack out of time for this edition. I want to remind you, as Bob was saying, The Case for Easter, the book by Lee Strobel is yours simply by calling 1-800-727-2828. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828. Just ask for your free copy of The Case for Easter by Lee Strobel. We'll be glad to get one on the way to you. Be sure to visit our website for information on our upcoming conference, June 19th through the 21st. It's called Stand 2014, and that, of course, is the website as well, Stand2014.com. Get the information. We'd love to see you there. Now for Bob and Richard and Andrew and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then.